Good morning, church. I thought I would dress up a bit from my evenings, and I've got a waistcoat on today. So anyway, this is first time in our 2 weeks of leading services that I'm speaking. We've obviously had Sharon at the first session, and then last week Jenny. And so it's great to be able to come and speak to the church this morning. And as I said, we are, as we've been saying, it is Palm Sunday, and that's our reading and our theme for this morning. Now, currently, the majority of our news is taken up with COVID-19. And if you're like me, it's getting a bit exhausting. I don't want to belittle it. I think it's important that we understand what's going on, but it's like constant. And I know a lot of people are trying to sat you on rather than, because it's the same sort of news each in and every session. So considering this morning that in these days, many are feeling overwhelmed with this bad news and they're missing the good. You'll know that it takes many positives to counteract the one which was bad. And that's why it's really great that Sharon was able to share. Do rejoice for Grant. We know what's been going on in their lives, and we do give thanks to God for that. And they're down and bad news all the time. There are glimpses of good. So today, in these times of bad news, what good news can you pass on? What good news can you pass on? Today, as we speak on Mark's Palm Sunday account, I am wanting to share the good news revealed by the people's cries of Hosanna. Good news that we are all able to share, more so than a birth, and to let that wonderful news be known, or more so than the life's milestone, perhaps, of celebrating a golden wedding anniversary. So how about some great news? Or in fact, the best news. Two words. Jesus Christ. This man changes everything. And when you get to know Jesus Christ for yourself, everything in you, around you, and through you changes because of him and in him. Now, I believe this isn't just good news. It's bolded and to the power of 10. And that's just putting it mildly. This list of a number of events. The event we are focusing on this morning is Palm Sunday. And in a little depth, it's the day we remember the triumphal entry. It's exactly 1 week before Jesus' resurrection, which takes place on. And we refer to it as Palm Sunday because of the palm branches that were laid on the road as Jesus rode. Since it was Passover, 2 million people in and around Jerusalem, seeing the city's population, what it would be on a normal period, which is incomplete today. As Justin Welby commented on this morning, he remarked, what a contrast to today's Palm Sunday, where the majority of our villages, towns and cities are devoid of people. And the general coming and goings, and the lack of noise, the hubbub and general purposeful activity, all completely contrasting that which was going on in Jerusalem at this time. This was the only time in his ministry that Jesus promoted a public demonstration. Up until this time, he had cautioned people, hadn't he? He would say, well, keep it to yourself. Don't share that with other people. He deliberately avoided public scenes. Why did Jesus plan this demonstration? Well, he was obeying scripture, fulfilling prophecy given some 450 to 500 years ago, or prior to his coming into Jerusalem, in Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee, having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Considering what to focus on this Sunday, I felt that Mark 11 verse 9 was really appropriate. And they went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That we love to say in our churches. especially on Palm Sunday. And in the light of our current epidemic, even a multitude of Jews and others who gathered as Jesus entered Jerusalem on that day shouted out the word. But few Christians today know the origin of that word, Hosanna. How the Jews used it in the Old Testament. Many Christians assume Hosanna was always a Jewish word of praise to God. Testament. If you look in Psalm 118:25, Sharon picked up that psalm. The root was more like that would, in context, lead to the nations prospering. It tells us that originally an appeal for deliverance, it came in liturgical usage to serve as an expression of joy wanted or anticipated. When Jesus came to Jerusalem for his final presentation of himself to Israel, the expression came readily to the lips of the people of the Passover crowds. Please, I beg you, save us. In one sense, it was a desperate cry, much like a drowning person would yell out for rescue. Rescue, like, you know, if you're drowning in the sea, they send what's going to save you? And maybe they'll chuck you, like what Sharon's just chucked me, a life ring. That's what they're saying. They're saying, Hosanna, save us. They're crying out to be saved. And they're not going to do it quietly. If you're in the sea drowning, you're not going to say, save me, save me. You are going to shout, get someone's attention to save you. But it was even more than that. It was the oppressed people's petition for freedom. Let's discover how the term Hosanna evolved from a cry for help to a shout of praise. Psalm 118:26 hints at why the meaning of Hosanna changed. The verse begins, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The psalmist knew God would answer his and Israel's cry for help. While Hosanna is not the same word as hallelujah, both words for the Christian or Christ follower represent a response of joyous praise. Again, Baker's Dictionary, we can learn of the essential observation from cries for salvation to praise for salvation. Those from whose lips Hosanna rose that day seem to have looked at Jesus as God's anointed one from the house of David, of whom the prophets had spoken and through whom they hoped that all their messianic be fulfilled. However misguided their particular expectations may have been, their actions underscore the theme of the Gospels, that Jesus is indeed the promised Son of David, through whom the redemption announced by God's prophets has come. In him, the age-old cry, Lord, save us, has become the glad doxology, Hosanna, which equals praise God and his Messiah, we are saved. The people cried Hosanna as they thought good news was being revealed. Good news is what we all like to receive. Sometimes we're going through a season of waiting and possibly expecting good news. I know that there are lots of young people at the moment who are in a season of waiting. Those who should have been doing their GCSEs, their A-levels and doing exams at university, who are in a season of waiting. They're unsure whether it is going to be good news. And we've got a daughter we're walking with at the moment and we're encouraging her to say, look, it's okay. It's okay. At some point, we will know what that news is. And we trust God for the good news that is to come. Sometimes, as I said, we may be going through a season of waiting and possibly expecting good news, while other times it comes in unexpected ways or form or fashion. That is what happened on Palm Sunday. Good news arrived on the scene, but not in the way that the people were expecting. Let's think back to before 2020 began and considering Christmas, which seems like a lifetime ago, have an unlikely beginning of this story. Jesus is born to a virgin who was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, born into a family that the earthly father was not his biological one. Born in a place that was barely fit for animals. Born without the pomp and circumstance. Born into a world without glitz and glamour. Born into a place that was not really known for anything. And then we fast forward to the time that Jesus decides to publicly introduce himself to the world. Remember, Jesus has been on the scene for a while, performing miracles, but was telling others not to tell people who he was. But now was the time, and in storytale fashion, he would expect this to be no hold barred event. But look how Jesus came to and for his people, riding a donkey, a colt. In the ancient world, when a king rode a horse, it symbolized war. And when he rode a donkey, it symbolized peace. Jesus once again does the unexpected by riding a donkey to prove a point, that he is the Prince of Peace. Sure, I heard that at Christmas. The people missed the symbolism. They expected him to lead a rebellion against Rome. They were crying Hosanna because they were hoping he was going to kick the Romans out. He was going to get rid of the oppressors, set the people free. And when he did not, the shouts of Hosanna quickly became a cry of crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. How many times have you heard people say, God let me down? God let me down. Some people then, just like some people now, want Jesus on their terms and conditions. And if he's not, they will turn their back on him. God doesn't work on our terms and our timetable. We can't demand and tell God what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. What we can do and need to do is pray, seek God, have faith in Jesus, and trust the Holy Spirit with our lives every day. And know and believe that everything will work out according to his will. As Jesus declares in days to come, not my will, but yours. Today, on this Palm Sunday, in this very unfamiliar season, where we as a global community, as a nation, as individuals find ourselves in, where we see people crying out desperately to be saved, let's be people who understand our cry of Hosanna. Use the word Hosanna today as you praise him for your personal salvation. And to inspire prayers to save those who are drowning under the unrelenting waves of fear produced by the coronavirus epidemic. Do you know what the good news is? Our cries of Hosanna declare that we have confidence that we will be saved. In these days, we need to help people see that whatever the storms we face, whatever the storms they face, Jesus is the one offering the life ring. We just need to take hold of it and trust in him. As I finish, I want to use the lyrics from one of a group, and it's entitled Hosanna. And I want it to enable us to come to a place of confession and pray. And then when we finish streaming, perhaps there's a link on my description of this, or copy, if you can copy and paste. Select it and put it into your search engine and watch the actual video, them, their worship toward them, then do so. So, the words go like this. I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see his love and mercy washing over all the sin. The people sing, the people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I see a generation rising up to take the place. with selfish faith, with selfless faith. I see a new revival stirring as we pray and seek. We're on our knees. We're on our knees. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for you, your kingdom's course. As I walk from earth into eternity. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. I pray that on this Palm Sunday, you will cry out, Hosanna. But in that confidence, knowing that we have a God who saves us. And in these uncertain times, he saves. Let's finish with a prayer. Lord, I thank you that you are the God who saves. And Lord, in the people's declaration of Hosanna, and in our own declarations of Hosanna, in this unusual Palm Sunday where the streets are incredibly quiet, we recognize that you save. Give us the confidence in these times to share that truth with those around us who are drowning in fear and uncertainty. Amen.